We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. Happy to be here with you. Boy, it was kind of a little bit of a rock and roll fall weekend. I hope you and yours made it through okay. I know we had some wild weather here in the listening region, and I know the life of a mother of four children, I'll just say under 12 because my oldest is 11, as soon as there's anything mentioned about thunderstorms or the T word, tornadoes, it's just like panic ensues. My 5-year-old will ask me for the next 24 hours, are there going to be storms? Is this going to, it just continues to set in and that trepidation exists. So hopefully you have made it through okay. And if you are still without power or if you have experienced damages, our prayers are with you so we can get a quick recovery here. So there's a lot of news to get to, and we're going to have a lot of guests on the show today. So I'm glad you're going to be here. Kevin Wheeler is going to be with us at 1240, and we are going to be talking about the Cardinals announcements of Ollie Marmol being named the new manager for the St. Louis Cardinals. Kevin Wheeler is going to get to all those details. So we'll just put a pin in that and touch base with Kevin Wheeler at 1240 to get the details. Coming up next, though, we are going to be speaking with Amy Kesem, who I'm excited to be talking to. Amy, I've worked with Amy in the state of Illinois with Illinois Republican events. Yes, those, in fact, actually do exist. You'd be surprised how many people show up to them. She is Chicago's 41st Ward Republican committeeman. She's also a member and a VP of the Northwest Side GOP up in Chicago. But she also happens to be a sergeant of police in the Chicago Police Department. She also was on the scene today at one of the protests that's going on as the mayor is enforcing this vaccine mandate for the Chicago Police Department. And, you know, it's like they've got extra time and they've got police officers to spare if you look at what the mayor is doing there to this police department and how aggressively and hatefully she speaks of them. Meanwhile, I'm holding a Fox News report in my hand right now that says there were 22 shootings reported over the weekend in Chicago, which left 24 people injured, including 3 dead. 28 people were wounded in shootings across the Windy City from 6 p.m. Friday to 11:59 p.m. Sunday. What are we doing to embrace the people who wear the badge? What are we doing to encourage people who have thought about wearing the badge to sign up and be a part of this brotherhood and sisterhood of brave and selfless people? Because in Chicago, it's pretty clear that they are not the priority in any of the law enforcement crises that Mayor Lori Lightfoot has on her hands. You know that in the city of Chicago that they don't prosecute, it's probably here in St. Louis too, they don't prosecute theft under $1,000. So you're going to have like thieves with calculators in going into stores and ripping stores off and stealing things from stores, because under a grand, the repercussion isn't there. Yet you put police officers in a position just like here in St. Louis, where they have to apprehend these people, protect the lawful business owners, those people who go to work and employ people and spend, you know, nights and weekends stressing over how to keep their business afloat when inflation is through the roof and they're struggling with supply chain issues. And you can go steal less than $1,000 worth of merchandise from them. And, you know, in the city of Chicago, it's not going to be a concern. What are we doing? I mean, don't you turn the news on lately and just go, this can't be right. This can't be real. What on earth is going on in our judicial system, in our lawmaking system, in our law enforcement system, the people who are at the top? What are they doing? So that's Amy Kesem. That's who we're going to talk to here in about 10, 15 minutes from right now. Like I said, she is a sergeant of police in Chicago, and I'm very excited to get her perspective on this issue. And then we've got Mark Cox at 125. So if you've been paying attention to social media, maybe if you watch the Blues game as they just continue on their tirade of winning, it's just pretty fun to watch. Did you see Sam Page at the Blues game, maskless, but he was eating. He was not breaking his mandate. He was eating. He wore a mask. He wore a mask inside and out and leaving the game. That's what a spokesperson said. Interesting, huh? The way that the phrase that's out there is rules for thee, but not for me. A lot of people are very frustrated when they continue to see, speaking of Lori Lightfoot, who was at the WNBA championship game a week ago, there without a mask on. According to KSDK, Sam Page says he followed rules despite photos of him maskless at Blues games. So I guess, is it part of the rules that you get to take your mask off to eat and drink? And if so, can I send my, you know, children to the public schools with a sandwich in their hands that they have to hold the entire time? I hope they're eating. They can go without their mask. According to KSDK here in St. Louis, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page says he followed city guidelines while at Saturday's St. Louis Blues home opener, despite photos circulating that show him watching the game maskless. Asked Sunday whether the Enterprise Center requires that fans wear masks in their seats, a Blues spokesman, Dan O'Neill, said, quote, Enterprise Center is under the mask mandate that has been put in place by the city. Yes. This is just a very, very hilarious way.
How diplomatic.
To respond. A spokesperson for Page, Doug Moore, whose job gets more and more difficult with each and every passing day. Oh, to be Doug Moore, said Page, quote, wore mask entering and leaving Enterprise Center, and when not eating and drinking, complying with city masking guidelines. This is where it gets really interesting to me, and this is at the bottom of the story, and this is why I'm excited to have Mark Cox on at 125 today, because I'm just going to be like, so, Sam Page, what do you think? And we're going to let him go. He's just going to do his thing. An extra, you know, 10, 15 minutes on top of the 4 hours of radio that he did here on 97.1 FM Talk this morning. So Doug Moore says that Sam Page wore a mask entering and leaving the Enterprise Center and when not eating and drinking, complying with city masking guidelines. KSDK reports Moore didn't address a question about why photos do not show Page eating or drinking. So just to pay no attention to the man behind the curtain here. And then Doug Moore did, because this is politics, folks, and he had the opportunity right in front of him. The ball was on the tee. Moore went on to criticize Fitch, saying that he, quote, sat through last week's entire county council meeting maskless, openly defying a public health order and stoking his anti-vaxxer supporters, end quote. Here's another one. The continued reckless, confrontational, illegal behavior is puzzling and dangerous from someone with a law and order background. How is what he's saying there, how is what Sam Page's spokesperson is saying, Doug Moore, how is what he's saying there any different than what can be said about Sam Page sitting at the St. Louis Blues game, whether he was eating or not? Man, this is where it's easy to go down the road of trying to argue the science behind this. Like, let's take a second here and discuss how in the world sitting in a suite at the St. Louis Blues game without a mask because you have food sitting in front of you or a drink sitting in front of you, how somehow or another COVID decides to opt out of that situation. But if there isn't food present in front of the alderman or city councilman Tim Fish, if there's not food present sitting in front of Tim Fish, that if he's not wearing a mask, then COVID opts into that situation. We're not that dumb. But again, this is where I start talking about science and then everybody just starts yelling and nothing gets done. The point here is that Sam Page, this is his rule. Everybody else in the arena is there to follow Sam Page's rule that he's not following while he's watching the St. Louis Blues game. And if it's so frightening and it's so scary, why is he there in the first place? This is about freedom. This is about the people who tell you what you can and can't do and the people who are just willfully there to listen to someone who doesn't have the authority tell you what they can and cannot do. And it's everywhere. It's not just St. Louis. Honestly, St. Louis is probably chapter 42 in a long list of people like Nancy Pelosi, who at the height of the pandemic was out getting her hair cut in San Francisco where nobody else was allowed to do that, not wearing her mask appropriately. These people tell you how you have to live your life, what you have to do, what you cannot do, and then they don't do it. So forgive me while I decide to reclaim a bit of my freedom here and make decisions based on what is best for my health. If people have a problem with it, ask me to leave. I'll leave. I probably won't come back either. Sam Page sitting there, I mean, I gotta say, like, as somebody who has been I know a lot of politicians. I talk to a lot of politicians, especially on a more local level. How is it possible that he could be sitting there waving, smiling, or anything without a mask on? It's, you know, just from the sense that he's the leader. He's the one that everybody is looking to who's setting these expectations and requirements and mandates for his little people that he rules here in the St. Louis area. How is it possible that nobody says, listen, you can go to the Blues game. I think it would be a good show of leadership to show up to the Blues game, to go be out and spend money and be present with the people of St. Louis. But that mask doesn't leave your face no matter what. That's obvious politics. To me, the only thing that trumps obvious politics for someone like Sam Page is arrogance. Not ignorance, it's arrogance. That he's going to get the leash and the room to explain why his particular situation is permissible. Heaven knows that I wouldn't get that leash. You wouldn't get that leash. This is being used against us. It's being used in a way that is political, which is why I say don't argue political fights with science, because it's not the same playing field. If Sam Page sitting there eating a hot dog or whatever it was that he was eating, drinking a beer or whatever it was that he was drinking, if him sitting there without his mask on is scientifically okay for him, the same goes for everyone else. And I've seen people comment, and I've heard people say, you know, there's a lot of people in that arena weren't wearing their masks. I know, because they're sick and tired of this, just like Sam Page. But Sam Page is the one who's telling people what they have to do. That's the difference. That's the distinction. And that's what makes me think that the next time you have the opportunity to go somewhere, make someone tell you, sir, ma'am, will you please put your mask on? And then be polite, be a good citizen, and you know, don't react in a way that it is aggressive or with anger. Make the decision to comply with what that private business is doing, or if you choose not to comply, go elsewhere. It is an incredibly different thing to see Sam Page, whose decision it is, apparently, to make all of those people in the arena abide by his rule and then see him not doing it. Politically, Mr. Page, what are you doing? It's so short-sighted, but yet it's arrogance. And St. Louis is waking up to it. The entire country is waking up to it. When we come back, Amy Kesem is going to join us. As I said, she is Chicago's 41st Ward Republican Committeeman. She is also the vice president of the Northwest Side GOP. But she is a sergeant of police in the Chicago Police Department. And she knows all about the protests that are going on there, what this mayor, Lori Lightfoot, has been doing and saying to the Chicago Police Department. And she's going to join us when we come back. We also have Kevin Wheeler, Stephen Moore, and Mark Cox on today's show, and you in the live chat on our Facebook live stream and the YouTube live stream, as well as Twitter and Twitch. Join us wherever it's convenient for you. We'll be back with Amy Kesem in a minute. Down in the
city that we love. This is the Annie Fry Show. Great clouds all over the hills. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie. But if you close your
eyes, does it matter? We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Made me see where I've been.
Things about all of this, and remind everybody that what this whole issue is. Number one, okay, there's a reason why we have a collective bargaining agreement. It's to keep the city and the department from forcing new conditions of employment on members, new discipline on members, without coming to the table and bargaining with the union. They failed to do that at every step of the way in this process. From the beginning, it is always, you know, a tyrannical order. It's this or else. Well, you know, I've said it in the past, and I've said it at a few meetings. I'm choosing the or else.
So Chicago police office there blasting the mandate, the vaccine mandate that Chicago police officers are under right now. You've seen this on the national news, that there are a lot of police officers who are protesting. And this is in the midst of a moment in time where also in the national news, let's just cite this weekend, 22 shootings reported over the weekend in Chicago, leaving 24 people injured, including 3 dead, according to Chicago police. It's not as though we can spare police officers, our good men and women in uniform in Chicago. It is a dangerous place to be. And it seems as though that the government structure in the city cares more about protecting the criminals than upholding and protecting our good police officers. I want to get straight to our guest here. Amy Kesem joins us right now. She's Chicago's 41st Ward Republican Committeeman, vice president of the Northwest Side GOP, but she's also a sergeant of police in the Chicago Police Department, and she is at the subway right now in the city of Chicago. There goes the subway train. Amy, thank you so much for being on with us today, because your perspective on this issue is very valuable. What can you tell us about the state of mind right now in the for Chicago police officers who wear the uniform?
Well, thank you so much, Annie, for having me on. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you giving us a voice and a platform to speak out about this tyrannical mayor who basically just has steamrolled over these members of this union's collective bargaining rights. And it's not just this union, it's the fire department's union, and it's all the other unions that are within the city. She doesn't seem to want to keep good faith in bargaining with these union members like she's supposed to. And so that's really the heart of the issue here. It's not about this vaccine mandate per se. It's just that people have a lot of concerns about the repercussions of this. For example, if I tell them my vaccine status, does that necessarily mean that, you know, if there's a job opportunity within the department, am I going to be withheld from getting that job posting or getting, you know, chosen for that position because of my vaccine status? I mean, there's just a lot of unanswered questions at this point.
Amy, what can you tell me about the communication from the people who are making these requirements within to the police officers who are risking their life in one of the United States' most dangerous cities? How does this communication go back and forth?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the things that we were hoping to accomplish today by being out here at City Hall and rallying for our rights and hoping that these aldermen, there's 50 aldermen within the city, each one is in charge of each ward, the 50 wards, and it's to help them realize that, you know, they're feeling the heat as far as the crime rates go in the city because they just keep going up and up and up. Violent crime is going up and up and up. And when you have a policy like this mayor has single-handedly enacted, it's going to take officers off the streets. And we can't afford to even lose one officer right now, not one. Mm-hmm. And so that's really our hopes here today in participating in this rally, to put that pressure on these aldermen to ensure that they stand up for the rights of their constituents to make sure that they're protected.
We're speaking with Amy Kessem, who is a sergeant of police in Chicago. You are also Chicago's 41st Ward Republican Committeeman. Now, I'm sitting in St. Louis, Missouri right now, but I do live in Southern Illinois. And most of Southern Illinois is going to be pretty excited to know that there is a Republican in Chicago. And I've had this conversation with you before. And I believe it was you that indicated that Chicago has the largest group of Republicans in the entire state. There are a lot of them up there. Maybe it's different than Southern Illinois, but what can you tell us about this particular issue, law enforcement, safety, security, in that northwest part of the state of Illinois, and how Republicans are reacting to it?
So my ward in particular the number of city workers and number of Republicans living with it. That's another to help be their voice. I mean, that's one of the things that majority.
Hey, Amy, we're gonna put you on hold for a second because we're losing this connection, and I really want to make sure that we get we hear what you have to say because it's very impactful. So maybe Dave can reconnect with her out there and get us back on a good connection with Amy Kessem. Because what she's talking about here, I've done different calls with Amy. I've done statewide. Basically, I am the moderator. We did a lot of this during COVID, where I would have someone like Amy who serves in the Northwest Side Republican Party, the GOP there. She serves as a Republican committeeman in Chicago, and she has a lot to say. And I am very interested in marrying the anger and the frustration that exists here in Southern Illinois for common sense, yes, conservative ideals, but you can be moderate right now. And if the state of Illinois ever went purple or moderate, it would be a drastic improvement. So Amy's back with us now. Amy, sorry about that. We were really losing you there, and I wanted to make sure we heard what she had to say. That's okay. Talk to us about the Chicago Republican Party.
So my ward in particular has the highest number of Republicans that lives within the city of Chicago, as well as the highest number of city workers. So that's why I felt compelled to be out here today attending this rally in person so that I can be their voices and stand up for their rights. And, you know, frankly, people are at their wits' end with what's been going on with the Democratic Party. And so one of the things that are the platforms that the Illinois GOP and the Cook County GOP and even the Chicago GOP, the message that we're trying to get across is that we absolutely can turn this state around. It's going to take boots on the ground, and we need all the volunteers that we can get at this point. But what people don't realize is that if we get 22% of the vote for a Republican candidate within the Cook County area or City of Chicago area, we absolutely can have a Republican governor again. And not only that, but we're working to change the trajectory of the rest of the state, because we plan on running a Republican candidate for every single position that we can. And that includes within the City of Chicago. And the reason being is that when we don't run a candidate, that means that the opposing candidates on the Democratic side, they don't have to spend money. So we're going to force them to spend money. And, you know, that's going to prevent them from sending their, coffers down state and taking over the entire state. That's basically the plan as of right now.
It's so important, and it's so necessary for the success of the Republican Party to understand the hand-in-hand nature of how Southern Illinois, I mean, I'm going to stick up for Southern Illinois because that's where I'm from, often feels as though they've been left behind. We seem to feel like I feel that way, certainly, that we really go the way of Chicago on a regular basis. Governor Pritzker is not a governor for Southern Illinois. He doesn't even hardly go to Springfield, Illinois, let alone it being the capital of the state. I'm curious, in Chicago, you said you need 22% of the vote out of Cook County to go for those Republican candidates. Governor Pritzker is a far-left governing Democrat. Are there moderate Democrats, moderate Republicans, who maybe weren't so excited about Bruce Rauner the last time around, that are really paying attention to the direction the state is heading under Governor Pritzker's tutelage and thinking they need to be active in a change?
Yeah, I think that you're seeing a lot of folks that have seen what's been going on, even just within the Democratic Party. You know, I've said this for years now. The Democratic Party is not our mothers and fathers party. It's changed so far to the left that people are not willing to vote for those individuals anymore, and they're starting to see the light. And luckily, we have, you know, certain platforms that give us the ability to get that message across. But, you know, we are up against a multi-billionaire. So it's basically going to come down to, you know, how much money is going to be spent in this race, and how many boots on the ground we have, and how many people can send a message across, within Cook County and Chicago in general, that enough is enough, and we're not going to tolerate a dictatorship or a tyrannical leader that single-handedly want to ruin our city.
Yeah, I am so with you on that. Real quick, before I let you go, we're speaking with Amy Kesem, who is a sergeant of police in Chicago. She's also Chicago's 41st Ward Republican committeeman. You were with those members who were protesting, to those Chicago police officers that were protesting today. You were with them this morning. Law enforcement is one of those things that, whether you are in law enforcement, you're married to someone in law enforcement, your parent or your child is in law enforcement, a lot of people across party lines have been looking at what this governor has done, how he's led, and saying, we got to stop it right now. Is the attitude in the police departments right now, is that really directing some change in effort as well as what we've heard so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, let me just say that my opinions are solely my opinions, mm-hmm. right? So I'm not representing the police department here. I'm representing my constituents as the Republican committeeman and the constituents that are within my ward. And like I said, a lot of them are city workers. So that's kind of why I felt compelled to be there. But yes, I think that you have a lot of individuals that have always kind of voted for the Democratic Party because they thought that that was the union party, the, you know, pro-union party. I've always maintained that I am pro-union. I know that's like, you know, a misnomer. People don't necessarily associate a Republican as being pro-union, but I have said that from the very beginning, even when I ran for state representative. And back in 2018, we had a rally for specifically union members who were conservative members who were part of the Republican Party. So, 40% at that time, 40% of union members considered themselves to be members of the Republican Party, or at least conservative. And that's something that people, you know, have to realize. And if you ask them now, You know, it would be an interesting poll to do, to be honest with you. I would venture to say that that number is much higher now.
Yeah, I've heard that from we have a lot of steel workers across the river here in Illinois, and same thing. There's a lot of the union faithful who love their union and don't love the Democratic Party, and I think we need to reach out to those individuals. Amy, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. I hope you catch your train. Thank you for squeezing us into your day. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again
soon. Sounds good. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Amy Kesem, Chicago's 41st Ward Republican Committeeman. Sorry about that extra noise there. She is in the subway, and she told us that, and I just wanted to fit her in and have that conversation with her. Being there on those at those protests this morning with the Chicago police officers, she is a sergeant of police herself, and she's very clear she doesn't speak for the police, the CPD, but she does speak for constituents, and she is a police officer. She has a valuable perspective. All right, you guys hear this from earlier this morning?
I'm pleased to announce that Ollie Marmol will be the 51st Cardinals manager. As you know, Ollie has spent his entire career in the Cardinals organization as a player, manager, coach, and 3 years as our Major League bench coach. He has excellent working relationships with players, coaches, and staff at all levels of the organization. We believe Ollie possesses strong managerial skills that will allow for the Cardinals' success to continue well into the future.
How do we feel about that? That there was Bill DeWitt Jr. announcing Ollie Marmol as the new manager for the St. Louis Cardinals. Kevin Wheeler is going to join us when we come back, and he's going to break down for us what we heard this morning at their 10 a.m. press conference, what it means for the St. Louis Cardinals going forward, and how he feels specifically about that nomination and succession from Mike Schilt. Ollie Marmol, now the 51st manager for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is that right? 51st? They've had 51 managers?
Yeah, I suppose so. I haven't actually counted them.
As Cardinals 50, that's what my paper says. That doesn't even seem possible. All right, let's take a quick break. Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports Reporter, with us on the breakdown of Ollie Marmol named as the St. Louis Cardinals manager in just a minute. Don't go away.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
I'm honored to sit here and just hear you guys speak and present this opportunity to me and my family. I'd like to take a moment and just thank the DeWitt family. This past week, just being able to speak with Bill, and it's evident that this organization franchise is absolutely dear to his heart and his family's heart. And they've built a winning tradition and a rich history here that is absolutely remarkable. For them to trust me to be a caretaker of that is incredibly humbling. So thank you for that.
Ollie Marmol named the Cardinals manager to succeed Mike Schilt. That announcement came at 10 a.m. this morning, and we are going to get the dish right now with Kevin Wheeler.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
So, Kevin, we've got good news from the St. Louis Cardinals. They've named Ollie Marmol the manager. Just give us your thoughts on this news from today and how this bodes for the future of the St. Louis Birds.
Well, I mean, I got to think, you know, we should start off with kind of a basic premise here, and that is, like, nobody knows if this hire is going to work or not. You know, I mean, like, when you're hiring someone like, say, Tony La Russa, who had already won a World Series and guided a dynasty, you know, that it's a little bit more rational to have a set of expectations. I'm like Switzerland on this. I mean, I don't think it's in any way a bad move, and I don't know if it's going to work, but I like Ollie Marmol a lot. As you can, if anybody paid attention to the presser today, he's a really good communicator. He's had a reputation for being a manager in development now for at least a solid 6 or 7 years. I mean, this is a guy that was managing in the minor leagues in his late 20s. You know, he was already a major league coach in his early 30s, and he's now the youngest manager in baseball. He's always had the reputation of somebody that would be a major league manager someday. And now the Sunday is today. And what you're gonna, what I think you're gonna see is a lot that will remind you of Mike Schilt. And Ollie was very clear in pointing out today that one of the biggest influences on his coaching career was Mike Schilt. And you'll see some differences. You'll see some decisions made differently. You may see them lean a little bit more heavily on things like matchups. You know, Ollie today talked a bit about, you know, the philosophy of each day putting the lineup out there that gives you the best chance that day. And it might look different than the day before, whether that means the order of the hitters or which guys are playing. So we may see a little bit more kind of creativity in that regard, but I think for a lot of it, you're going to see something similar to what we've seen the last few years.
So you mentioned that he's the youngest manager in Major League Baseball. He's 35 years old, born in 1986. For a lot of Cardinals faithful, that just from a personal standpoint will make them fall off their chair. But, you know, if you've got the goods, you've got the goods, and why pass on someone so that they can be, what, 38, 42? By that time, he might get scooped up by somebody else and you lose him. Is age a factor in this at all?
I doubt it. I mean, you know, I think experience matters more than age, and what matters more than both of those things is ability. You know, it's something that Bill DeWitt Jr. mentioned during the presser. You know, it's the same idea with young players, right? If you're bringing up a young player, you're not going based on experience because they don't have any. You know, you're not going on success or failure because they've never had a chance to succeed or fail. You're going on ability. You're going on talent. And clearly the Cardinals think Ollie Marmol has that kind of talent, and other people in the sport do too. I mean, again, his reputation is not brand new. This isn't something that just kind of popped up out of the blue. He's been viewed as a really good baseball mind who would eventually have the experience to earn a job like this.
Speaking with Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports reporter, is following the news that Oliver Marmol, Ollie Marmol, has been named the new Cardinals manager. You know, this is literally the big leagues. That's kind of like what you say in a lot of other industry things, like, oh, they're in the big leagues now. No, but this is literally the big leagues. How long does he have to honeymoon as the manager for the St. Louis Cardinals? I mean, is it opening day of 2022 perform or there's trouble?
I guess it depends on how we're looking at it. If we're looking at it from the front office perspective, he's not on any kind of hot seat right out of the gate. I mean, you know, it took, you know, more than 3 years for any kind of rifts to show up with Mike Schilt. And, you know, today John Mozeliak was asked if he thought this change was possible when they were flying back from L.A. after the wild card game, and he said at that time, no. Wow. So, you know, in terms of having the faith of the organization, he's not going to be on a short leash. He's going to have time. As far as expectations for the season, though, next year, he's jumping into the fire, man. I mean, people expect this team to go out and win the division next year. And that expectation is not just from fans. I think the front office thinks this team is ready to be that kind of team, too. And, you know, I'll give Marmol some credit. I mean, he said championships are the goal. You know, there are other things to suit a season. He said, but if we don't win a championship, it's going to be a disappointment. So he put that out there already. And, you know, the way that next year is lining up with Waino and Yachty back for a year, you know, with Nolan Arenado facing another decision on an opt-out after 2022, you know, with all the things that have gone into this, I think the expectations are high, and I think the expectation is going to be a significant improvement from this year.
What can you tell us, Kevin, about those, you know, you just named some very high-profile St. Louis Cardinals there, specifically the Nolan Arenado piece that is not, you know, a period on that sentence. There's a question mark on the end of that sentence about what happens next with Nolan Arenado. How do you think that those guys feel about Ollie getting the promotion to being the head guy?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, when Mike Schilt was let go, there were a lot of players that were upset. I mean, they liked Mike Schilt a lot. And I think they probably looked at Ollie in very much that same way. I mean, a lot of these guys have known him for 10 years. And was drafted by the Cardinals in the sixth round. So, you know, he's got some on-field professional experience. He didn't advance, but he did play professionally. He's known these guys forever. I mean, look, he's been on the major league staff since 2017. So, you know, the guys that have been around know him. And I would imagine that, you know, they're cool with this. I'm sure they all still feel bad about what happened to Schilt. I'm sure that they all wish that that hadn't happened. But I got to believe that he's a popular guy in that clubhouse.
Yeah. So let me ask you real quick. I only got about a minute left here. The decisions to move from Mike Schilt to Ali Marmol, what's the big distinction between the two that makes Marmol the right guy and Schilt the wrong one?
Well, whatever it was that Schilt and the front office disagreed upon doesn't exist with Ali.
We just don't know specific details. I want the dirt, Kevin.
Yeah,
the dirt.
We have an idea, right? There, you know, there was some clash between Schilt and the philosophy of the hitting coach, Jeff Albert. And Ali said today that he and Albert are in alignment when it comes to hitting philosophy. And, you know, there's some other analytical things, again, like playing matchups and pitcher usage and stuff that might be different. So that would be it probably right there.
All right. Well, Kevin, we'll be tuning in to Sports Open Line. We'll be listening to your updates on this. Encourage people to follow you at KevinWheeler94 for the latest. Thanks for giving us some extra time here on a Monday. Good to talk to you.
No worries. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. So the St. Louis Cardinals there making the announcement at 10 a.m. That just really turned around fast. They don't normally like to make these kinds of announcements during the playoffs. And while the playoffs are going on, the St. Louis Cardinals have fired and hired a manager. Like, that happened really, really fast. So love to know what you think about that. Give us a comment on the live chat on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. A reminder to go like the Facebook page. I'm going to give you an update in the 2 o'clock hour about where we are on the pursuit to wear that silly costume that Ryan Wiggins is going to choose for us. Ryan is on vacation through tomorrow, so he'll be back Wednesday as well. When we come back, Stephen Moore and Mark Cox. Don't go away. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. Hey, come
in cold. I'm ready to play. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.